will be first, and the first will be last. So my wife went to the American Choral Directors Association convention in Salt Lake City for a few days, and I had never been to Salt Lake City, so I decided to tag along. And we decided to save some money by not renting a car, so we took public transportation when we were out there. And when I was waiting for the train, late one afternoon, there was a man talking on his phone using a device like a Bluetooth that goes in your ears. And since the person isn't speaking directly into the phone, it always looks like they're talking to themselves. And I'm sure you've experienced that. The technology's been around for long enough now that I should know better, but it doesn't matter. It always catches me off guard. And I always wonder if the person really is talking to themselves. Well, this guy was talking particularly loud, and he seemed really upset. And again, he wasn't speaking into a phone, and so I was positive that he was ranting out loud to himself. So he had my attention. I wasn't so sure what to do with him, and I started to listen to what he had to say. And you know, I figured out that he was a construction worker, and he was talking about how much money he made in comparison to someone else who worked a different job but for the same company. And he couldn't understand how someone who worked the same number of hours as a construction worker but who happened to have experience as a masonry worker could make almost twice as much money as he did, and he was upset about it. Once I figured out that the guy was not talking to himself, I drifted out of the conversation. I lost interest. But once again, I was made aware of the fact that if you want to get people very upset in today's world, all you need to do is start to talk about money or salaries. And we often play the game of comparing our salary to someone else's. We usually compare our wages to somebody that makes more money than we do. And those that are making more money, we often say, have less skill, or they have less experience, or less education. And they definitely haven't worked as hard or put in the time like we have. And it's totally unfair. And you can relate to that, I know. Whether it's that feeling you get when you've been waiting in line the longest, and another register opens up, and someone else who just got there jumps in front of you. Or when you're at a restaurant, and you're waiting for your food forever, and the table next to you gets served before you did, when you know you ordered your food way before they did. And whether it's wages or lines at a cash register or service at a restaurant, it's that feeling that creeps into us when we hear about this parable of the generous vineyard owner. It's a parable that grabs hold of us, of that nerve of fairness that runs through all of us, even from a very young age. So in our lesson, Jesus tells another parable about the kingdom of God, a story that turns the values and expectations of our world upside down. And in this tale, there are those that work a 12-hour day for the going rate at that time, and that going rate, that usual daily wage, was a denarius. It was the wage that would have been paid to a foot soldier or to a day laborer. It was about enough to just subsist for that day. There wasn't enough money for savings, and it was pretty hard to get ahead in that economy. You were hopeful just to have enough food for your family for that one day. And so here's the catch to the whole story. You have to imagine putting yourself into that situation. Wages for this type of work were settled on a daily basis. And when it came time to give the workers pay for the day, the owner paid the workers who had been there only an hour first. They received a full day's wage, a whole denarius. And then he had paid those who had been there for 3 hours, then six, and then for the whole day. And what did they receive? Everybody received the same thing. Every last one of them. The guy who worked for 1 hour at the end of the day received that same pay as the man who came in at 6 a.m., the responsible one who worked so hard through the heat of the blazing sun. So how would you feel if you were that person who came to work at 5 p.m., quitting time was at 6, and you still got paid for the whole day? Or the other person who worked the whole day? We understand that feeling of unfairness. But Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. He begins the story with that phrase that we've gotten used to after reading Matthew for a while. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like this." And when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, he isn't talking about us going off to heaven when we die, but more about the idea of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God coming here to be with us in this place and what that would look like. And according to much of what Jesus has been saying throughout the Gospel of Matthew, the kingdom of heaven will look a whole lot different than what we're used to. And for many people, it will look a whole lot different than what they want it to. So Jesus tells a parable, saying the kingdom of heaven is like this vineyard owner who gets up early in the morning and goes down to the local marketplace finding people to work. He hires them on the spot and they agree to work for that usual day wage. A couple of hours later, he's back in the marketplace and he sees people standing there, so he hires them. He happens to go back at noon and then again at 3 o'clock. All of these workers coming out to do work at the vineyard. Finally, 5 p.m. rolls around and he goes out one last time and there are still people standing there looking for work. And he says, "Why have you been standing here all day?" And they respond, "No one has hired us." So he puts them to work. Evening comes and he tells the manager to go and pay the workers, starting with the one who came last. All the laborers come in from the vineyard, tired but anxious to receive that little bit that will help them survive for another day. The one who comes in at 5 p.m. and gets their payment and discovers its entire day's wage. Can you imagine the gasp, the shock on their faces? It was probably really hard to hide from the other workers. A whole denarius for 1 hour of work. So word starts getting out down the line. They got paid for a whole day and they only worked an hour. How much do you think we'll get? And things start to escalate as each group starts to form their own mental calculation. Maybe it will be enough this time for us to get a little bit ahead. But as they receive their payment, the room goes silent as they realize that everybody got paid the same. Everyone. It didn't matter if you worked 12 hours or 1 hour. So they started to grumble, and you know what they said. It's not fair. They only worked an hour. I worked all day. To which the vineyard owner replies, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual day wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you." am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm jealous? Or are you jealous because I'm envious? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. And it's not fair. It's not fair if you've been waiting for a table for 20 minutes and another couple walks in and they get a table right away. It's not fair if you work your tail off for hours and hours and get paid the same as somebody who just showed up at the end. Renowned preacher Barbara Brown Taylor put it like this. She says, this is exactly why we feel God must be fair and why this parable about God drives us crazy. God should be the one authority you can count on to reward people according to their efforts, keeping track of how long you've worked and how hard you've worked, and who does not let people break in line in front of you. Life may not be fair, but God should be fair. But the vineyard owner pays them all the same, and it's not fair. And if you view yourself as the one who has been working all day, that's often what we do. I think we often assume we're the ones that have been working the hardest. Then absolutely, it's not fair. But what if you're the person that's only been working for an hour? And I think that's another assumption we make about the story. We assume that the people who worked less or maybe lazier, or maybe they're latecomers, maybe they slept in, they need to get there on time like everybody else did. But that's not what the parable says. The vineyard owner asks them, why are you standing here all day? And they reply, because nobody hired us. So it's not that the people were lazy or irresponsible. They've been there all day too. It's just that no one would hire them. Luther Seminary professor Matthew Skinner points out that this parable draws all its force and potential from the dynamics of economic life. He says, who then should we think the landowner encounters when he's looking for workers in the late afternoon? What kind of people are the last to find jobs added to the roll only when there's no more labor available? Nothing suggests that those characters in the parable are irresponsible or lazy. More likely, they're unwanted. He goes on to say, who spends the whole day waiting to be hired but doesn't find success until the end of the day? In Jesus' time, these would have been the weak, the infirm, and the disabled, maybe the elderly, and other targets of discrimination, such as criminals or people who had a bad reputation. Skinner adds, a God who is just, then, is inclined to show special generosity to the poor and the outcast. No wonder the respectable people get anxious. So those who were last were probably the people who were ready to give up, to call it a day. They had given up hope, and now they would have to make a shameful walk home and explain to their family that once again, they had nothing to show for the day. But then imagine the moment when the landowner comes one more time, back at 5 o'clock, and you're picked up. You're chosen. And not only that, in the end, you get paid for an entire day. If you are the person standing around all day waiting, it's complete and utter grace. But it's also unfair. Bible scholar Elizabeth Johnson writes, this is a parable about the kingdom of God, and God, as it turns out, is not fair. God does not play by our rules. God does not give us what we deserve, and thank God for that. For if we got exactly what we deserved, where would we be? In fact, God lavishes grace and mercy on all of us. If grace is only given to those who have earned it, those who deserve it, then all of us are out of luck. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short. None of us in the end could measure up. But grace is this amazing thing that is given not only to those, or not given to those who deserve it, but it's given to those who need it, and we all need it. Because the truth is that at some point, we're the ones that feel left behind, standing in the marketplace, waiting to see if somebody will pick us up. We all feel left behind, unchosen, insecure, not enough. Nobody has their life fully together. We all fall short of who we wish or hope we could be. And yet God chooses us anyway. And it's not fair because none of us deserve it. God is not fair, but God is loving. The landowner does not give workers what is fair, but what they need. They need that daily wage to make it through another day with food on the table. In Jesus' parable in the kingdom of heaven, it's not about fairness. It's about need, and it's about grace. And we're all in need of God's grace and God's love and God's forgiveness. Thanks be to God that He is not fair. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now grace that taught